This is Al Sebring. If you're listening to this audio file, you've clicked through on the link from ARPA's FIPA information page. On the April 27th, 2015 edition of Lighthouse News, we featured an interview with Patricia Maloney and ARPA lawyer Andre Schutten about the particulars of the case. I started the interview by asking Patricia how this case, the one ARPA's working on, ties in to a court case she initially launched in 2014. There's some history here, and I'd like to start with that. And Pat, I'd like to ask you a question first.
Sure.
We first talked about this last July, and you'd launched a court case that was due to go to court in October. You were expecting a ruling sometime around March of this year. What happened to that case, and how is it related to the lawsuit that was announced last week?
Yes, we did have our day in court, Al, and just before we got into court, the government released the document that I was looking for. So then the government argued that because I'd already received the document, my application for judicial review was moot. So that's what happened in October. And they said because it was moot, it wasn't necessary for us to even, you know, go ahead with this. They argued that even if I did win, I wouldn't have obtained any more information than I already had, because they'd already given me the document.
So, Andre, what's the fundamental difference between this case and the one that was done last year? How can we be sure that the Ontario government won't try the same kind of maneuver this time around to actually escape facing a judge on this?
Basically, what Pat did last year was she challenged both the process of the law through appeals and so on, and also the interpretation of the law as it was then, how her first request was interpreted by those administering the FIPA, and then how it was appealed from there. Now we will challenge the law itself as unconstitutional, seeking to strike it down. There's not going to be the same sort of questions of policy or questions of evidence. It's going to be mainly a constitutional question. Does the FIPA, as it's written now, with this little clause in there that says that all abortion-related information will be excluded from Freedom of Information requests, is that subsection unconstitutional? That will be the question, and I don't think the Ontario government will be able to dodge this one this time.
And Pat, this is not just Ontario. There's at least one other province that's potentially affected by this case.
There is another province, BC, that has restrictions on abortion as well. And my understanding is that the BC law says that the government is actually not allowed to release abortion info inside or outside of the Act, with a few exceptions, like statistics and financial information related to the total number of abortions, which they can release. And for those exceptions only, for statistics and financial info, a person has a right to that information. But in Ontario, abortion is excluded from the Act, meaning that the government can still release the information outside of the Act, as they did with my request. So in some ways, the BC law is worse than the Ontario law. Ontario doesn't say that the government cannot release the information. But in other ways, it's better than Ontario. For example, in BC, one still has a right to information on stats and financial data, on total numbers, and a few other things. But no such right exists in Ontario. It's at the complete whim of the government, if they so choose, to give it to you. And I'd like to make an important point here. I think that it's preferable that information is released through the Freedom of Information and Protection of Privacy Act, as opposed to being released outside the Act. In Ontario, the government is allowed, at its discretion, to release information that would normally be excluded from FIPA, like they did when they gave me my two-page report. But this also means that the government can arbitrarily refuse my information as well. And if they refuse to give it to me, I have no recourse.
Andre, fundamentally, what are we arguing here? I mean, this is a charter case. In your statement at the press conference, you said that freedom of information is protected by the charter's freedom of expression guarantee. Is that kind of a novel legal argument? It's certainly the first time I've heard the charter being used in this context. I don't know of any express link between freedom of expression and freedom of information.
It's a newer argument, but we're definitely not the first group to be making it. In fact, there was a case that went all the way to the Supreme Court of Canada in 2010, in which freedom of information was read as something that could be guaranteed by the freedom of expression guarantee in the Charter. That's protected by Charter Section 2B, which includes freedom of thought, belief, opinion, and expression, including freedom of the press and other media of communication. That's a direct quote. And so what the court said, the Supreme Court of Canada said in 2010, was that where a claimant can establish that there's a denial of access that effectively precludes meaningful commentary on a particular issue of public importance, then there is an obligation on the government to demonstrate to a court that by banning access to that information, it's required in a free and democratic society. And I think that when we're talking about an absolute ban on all abortion-related information, I don't think they can justify that as being required in a free and democratic society. If they had said any abortion-related information that is personal or private, for example, the names of the abortionists or the names of the women having these abortions, then of course we would say that's totally reasonable for a government to protect the privacy of those individuals. But when they say, we will not even give you the number of dollars that we spent last year on abortion, that's unreasonable. And I don't think they're going to win on that question in the court.
Pat, given that the Ontario government decided to sort of avoid the court case by giving you what you wanted last year, is there a message there? Do you think the government's worried that you've got a good case and that's why they tried to avoid having this go to court?
Yeah, I would say that there is a message here, and that is that we have a strong case. I wouldn't be doing this if I thought we didn't. The government's lawyer actually said to me when we were in court there in October that the information they gave us was not current anymore. The chart, I don't even know what that means. I believe they were just trying to wiggle out of explaining to us why they released the information. And again, since the information wasn't released inside the Act, they don't have to explain anything to me. I think they felt free from being accountable to the taxpayer with this maneuver.
Which brings me to my final question. Andre, what's the timelines on this? When does this go to a hearing? Which court level? That kind of stuff. Is this going to be a long, drawn-out process? I saw one reference in a release to ARPA supporters that this could take 3 or 4 years to settle. You think this will ultimately end up before the Supreme Court?
The notice of application has been filed with the Superior Court of Ontario. We're going to be doing this case in Ottawa. There's going to be a period of time where the government of Ontario gets to respond. If required, there will be a trial that's set that could take anywhere from 3 or 6 months to a year, maybe even more. The trial shouldn't be too long just because it's only legal arguments. We're not going to have to introduce lots and lots of evidence like some other trials need. I wouldn't be surprised at all if it got appealed to the Ontario Court of Appeal. But because there is a lot of other case law out there that's gone to the Supreme Court on this, again, because there's that relatively recent case from 2010 that we are relying on, I don't think it will necessarily go to the Supreme Court. But if it does, then yeah, we're looking at a legal battle that could take, 5 years on the longer end of the scale. We're in it for the long haul, I think, if required. I mean, we're going to have to reevaluate at every stage of appeal. But I think if it's required, we will appeal all the way.
Thank you both. We're out of time.
Thank you,
Al. Thanks, Al.